Today's daf is daf Yud, Masechet Sanhedrin, Perek Rishon. You'll recall that yesterday we learned the halacha that since Adam is Karov Eitzel Atzmo, and therefore he has no ne'emanus when it comes to himself whatsoever, where he says testimony that would incriminate himself and also somebody else, the element that incriminates himself is ignored completely because he has no status of a witness when it comes to himself. And therefore, we're left with Palgina and Dibura. We can split his statement into the part that has witness validity and the other part in which he has absolutely nothing to do with the concept of testimony. Today we continue in a similar vein on the bottom of Tesamit Beis, the last two words, Omar Rava, Ploni Ba'al Ishti. If somebody testifies that someone had slept with his wife, then who ve'acher mitztarfin lahorgo, avalo lahorga. If there's another witness, then he, together with that witness, is believed to have the perpetrator executed because of Eish HaDish, but not to in any way incriminate his wife. Says the Gemara, Maika Mashmalam. So what's the Chiddush in this? Tepalginin Dibura? That we can split now what it is that he's saying into the part where he's believed and the part where he's not believed. Hainarach? That's exactly what we said yesterday with the case of Ploni Ravani. Says the Gemara, no, there's still a Chiddush. Because Ma'al Tema Adam Karov Eitzel Atzmo Amrina. Eitzel Ishto Lo Amrina. I might have thought, even though obviously a person cannot testify against his wife, but nonetheless, when he's implicating his wife in the context of a different testimony, you're not going to give her the same status as when he would be saying something about himself. So where it comes to himself, he has no status as a witness whatsoever. But when it comes to the overall statement of someone having slept with his wife, because of the fact that we believe in Lagavi, that other person, so perhaps once Migo, that we believe him about the other person, we believe him vis-a-vis his wife as well, and the status of Eidus that implicates the other individual, the male, the male, is sufficient to join with the other Eid to implicate his wife as well. Therefore, Kamash Malan, that it's considered to be zero presence when it comes to testimony, and therefore indeed it is the same Balgin and Dibura. We do not hear him at all when it comes to the statement about his wife. Therefore, it might as well be that he specified another individual, or a nameless individual, an Eshet Ish, nothing to do with him. V'yomar Rava, another Chiddush, says Rava, that if somebody is made that Ploni Ba'al Na'araha Ma'urasa V'huzmu Neheragin Ve'im Mishalmin Mamon. Somebody who says that such and such an individual slept with a Na'araha Ma'urasa. So over there, there's really two issues. One issue would be is that if it were true and she was still now a Na'ara, so then her ketuvah would have been due her to go to her father. So he's really testifying against the father's right to collect the ketuvah. And he's furthermore testifying against her that she's chayevet mita. So the halacha over there is that since he hasn't specified who the na'ara ma'urasa is, if it turns out that he was an eid zomeim and that he was definitely Alpi Teira considered to be a liar because he wasn't present at the time that he claimed to have witnessed the event. So then they're only b'chayevim mita for what it was that he was going to do to the supposed perpetrator of the sleeping with the Na'ara Ma'urasa, but he does not pay money to the father. Obviously, we don't know who the father is because he didn't testify against the particular woman. Fine. Tosfos says we're talking about over here that it was Nitgala afterwards as a result of his testimony in the context of the court case who it was that the woman that he had said had been slept with. Nonetheless, the halacha is that his edus was not coming to deal with the chiyuv of mammon to the father, and therefore we're not mechayev them on the mammon. But if he says beferush that so and so slept with Bita Shel Ploni, so and so's daughter, and then it turned out that he was lying, so then neheragim umishami mammon. Since over here normally we say that there's Komle B'Rabba B'Name, but Komle B'Rabba B'Name, in which the greater Chiyav subsumes the lesser Chiyav, is only true where it accrues to the same individual. But over here there's two completely separate Chiyav. There's a Chiyav of Mammon to the father that he was now deprived of because of the fact that his daughter is, according to this testimony, not suited to get a ketuvah, and there's a separate chiyuv for the fact that he was going to be mechayev someone for sleeping with the nara amorasa. So therefore, in this case, since it's two separate people, there are two separate chiyuvim. Me'arogin u'meshami mamon. Mamon lezeh, to the father, and a fashot lezeh, because of the chiyuv that he would have wanted to bring to the one who slept with the nara amorasa. V'yoma rova. Ploni Rava Hashor. So and so now had slept with an ox. But he didn't say which ox. So over there he wasn't coming to be Machayev the loss of the ox to the owner. He was only coming to be Machayev the individual who ostensibly had done the act. To be Machayev and Misa. So the halacha over there is Neharagin Le'mishamim Mamon. But here too, if they specify Shorosh or Ploni V'Uzmu, then there would be two separate Chiyuvim, and therefore Neharagin U'Meshami Mammon. If they're found to be liars, so there's a separate Chiyuv, Mammon Lezeh, to the owner of the Shor, U'Nefashot Lezeh, for what it was they wanted to be Machayev, the perpetrator. Asks the Gemara Hatu Lama Lehaino Hach. Isn't that exactly the same case as the case we had a moment before about the ketubah and nara hamu'rasa? Yes, it is indeed. However, it needed to be mentioned, mishum dekaboy baya iluyah. It's because Rava, who mentioned this halacha, had an issue that he wanted to be mavarer about this case, and therefore he brought it up in this fashion. And what was that baya? Deboy Rava. Kloni Rava Shori. What would be the din in a case where he said so-and-so had now committed a sexual act with my own shor? So what's the din over there? Mi aminan adam karov etzel atzmo, but in adam karov etzel momono, do we say that a person is not considered to be the equivalent of a non-aid when it comes to his own mama? So therefore, since he's believed, as we said earlier, Lagabi the perpetrator, he should be believed Lagabi the chiyav of his own shor, and the shor has to be killed. Or do we see that even Eitzel Mamono, Odil Marminan Adam Karov Eitzel Mamono? And then Bata Debai Hadar Pashta, after asking, raising the issue, Rava, it was able to be poshet the question, the halacha is Adam Karov Eitzel Atzmo, the in Adam Karov Eitzel Mamono. And therefore, once his testimony is believed vis-a-vis the person who committed the sexual act, it's also believed in terms of the harigat hashor, even though it's his own shor. The next thing that we learned in the Mishnah was makot b'shlosha. The chiyuv of the makot requires a beit din of three people. Minani mila. Amar avuna amar kra. It says in the Pasuk, Vishavtum. Vishavtum refers to two people. It's Lashon Rabbim, so it's a minimal of two. We have our klal that ain Beit Din Shakur. You have to have a Beit Din that can follow a majority, whereas if you only have two people, you would have to follow a unanimity. Therefore, Mosifin Aleihem Od Echad, you have to add one more person, which gives us Harekan Shilosha. It gives us three. By the way, I do apologize for all the noise in the background here in the mountains of Pennsylvania. but I'm trying my very best. This is part of our On the Road series. You know how those sound. Ask the Gemara, but wait, in the same parsha, it says not only v'shaftun, it says v'hitzdiku et atzadik, v'yishiu et harasha. If you're counting the number of people that are mentioned, v'hitzdiku is another minimum of two, v'yishiu is another minimum of two, which brings us to six. Ein Beit Din Shakul, Sarei Kan Shiv'ah. So why don't you require seven judges in order to be mechayev someone makot? Says the Gemara, that's because the Yitzdiku and the Yirshiu are not coming to address the number of Dayanim. They're coming to teach us something very, very different. Bahumi Boilei Kidu Ula comes to teach us the halacha that Ula taught us. Diomar Ula, Remez Leidim Zomimim Min HaTorah Minayin. Where can we find a hint to the din of Edim Zomimim? Asks the Gemara, what are you talking about? Remez Leidim Zomimim? What do you mean a hint? The din of Edim Zomimim is a beferish parsha in the Torah, and it says there, to do to him kasher zomam, whatever he had planned to do. The Rehehu, that's what you do to the witness who was found to not even have been present where it was that he claimed to have seen an event. So what kind of silly question is this? Remez Leidim Zomimim. No, no, no. What I'm asking is, Remez Leidim Zomimim Shalokim Minayim. How do we know that Edim Zomimim, in cases where there is no way to do the Kasher Zaman, let's say that they were made that a Kohen is a Ben Grusha Ben Chavutza, which causes him to lose his status of a Kohen. Now, how can we do that to the Edim? Therefore, as we learned in the Gemara Makot, the din over there is that they get Makot for being Edim Zamanim. Ooh, a question, how do we know that there's a din of a Chiev of Makot for Edim Zamanim? That was his question. And he answers, Dichtiv, Yitzdiku et HaTzadik, V'shiu et HaRasha, V'haya imbin HaKot HaRasha. Now you explain to me the meaning of this pasuk. Someone comes into court, and we find the tzaddik to be innocent, we find the rasha to be guilty, and then if we can beat him, we should beat him. What in the world? Mishum Yitzdiku et HaTzadik, V'shiu et HaRasha, V'ayayim bin HaKot HaRasha. There's no, it's a complete non sequitur. These are two separate issues. So why in the world do we put together the dinim of the Mishpat with the way in which we give Makot? Ela, therefore it must be that the cases that we're talking about where Edim originally had come along and they were Marshia illegally by lying someone who was actually innocent. It was a tzaddik. And then comes along another set of Edim, Va'ato Edi Achrini, and they said, oh no, you weren't even there. So they were Yitzdiku at Atzadik the Meikara. They restored the innocent party to their innocence. And they made the other ones, the Edim, into the Rasha'im. Rishavinu Lahanach Rasha'im. Therefore, Ba'ayayim Bina Kota Rasha, if there's no way to be Mekayim Kasher Zaman, give them Makot. Ask the Gemara, this is an awfully elaborate way of learning out that there's a din of Makot. Isn't it a typical lav? It says, Lo ta'aneh b'reachar et shaki. And every time the Torah says a lav, the din is that you're chayev Makot. So why doesn't it just say that the Torah says Lo ta'aneh, and that should be enough? Why isn't that sufficient? Yes, the more of a typically milota amen. Why can't we learn it out from lota nebere achar chakra? Mishum navi lav she'en bo ma'aseh. V'chol lav she'en bo ma'aseh, en lo kin alav. The reason is, because a lav she'en bo ma'aseh, and in this case you don't do an action, you simply talk. You're the speaking is not considered to be a ma'aseh. The din is that you would not get malchus. Therefore, unless we would have an indication that there's v'hoyim ben akot harasha after b'tzidikot atzadik, we would not have been able to use lo taneh b'reacha as the basis of the chiyuv of malkot. Continues the Mishnah, Mishum Rabbi Shmuel Amru be'esrim v'shlosha, that in order to be dan dinei makot, you have to have 23 dayanim. By time of the Rabbi Shmuel, why does he say this? Omer Abaye Atya Rosha Rosha Michayve Mitot. He learns that the same way that the Posek was Mechayev, as we saw before, the Yitzilo Ayedah, the double Eidah, which ended up bringing us to a Beit Din of 23, he says that that is learned out from Gezer HaShava to apply to Makot as well. Why? Because by Makot it says, Vayayim min HaKot HaRasha, and by Chiyuv Mita it says, Asher Hu Rasha Lamut. So that means that the word Rasha occurs in both places. Just as we proved earlier that we need to have a Beit Din of 23 for Chayvei Mitot, so too do we need 23 for Chayvei Malkut. Rava Omar, Malkut b'makom Mita omedet. It's very simple. Malkut is be'etzem a chiev of mita. So the Torah is telling you, once you are over on a lota aseh, so you really don't deserve to live. Okay? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, okay, so instead, we'll give you makot, slightly less than a complete mita. So it's as if we treat it as if it's one of the chiyuve mita. Ask the Gemara, but if that's the case, Amar Vacha b'reda ravel ravashi, yachi umdan alomali. Why do we have a halacha that we're supposed to first get a doctor's opinion and see to it whether he can actually tolerate Malkut Arba'im? And if he can't tolerate it, so then we don't give him Malkut Arba'im. Why don't we just simply beat him? L'machye v'imayit laimot. If he dies, let him die. If you're telling me that Be'etzem, Malkut Mitzad HaSvora, is a form of Mita, except it doesn't necessarily have to occur. So if that's the case, what do you care if it does occur? Omar Lei, Omar Krav Nikla Achicha Le'enecha. V'nikla Achicha Le'enecha means that when you finish reducing him now, and he has been taken down by this Malkut, he should then be your brother. So ki machita agave dechaye machit. When you're going to beat him, the beating has to be on a human being who is alive, who is achicha. Masha enkein, if you continue to beat him now, you say give him 40 no matter what. So it's Malkut's 39 lashes. And if he died on the 20th, just keep beating him. That's what you're saying. It should always be 20. It should always be 39. And we do not require, we shouldn't require an umdan. But if that would be the case, we would be beating a dead body. Ask the Gemara, but that's still insufficient, because Elohadatanya Amdula Kabel Esrim in Makinato Ela Makota Ruyot Lihishtalesh. That if, let's say, the doctors say that he can tolerate 20, we don't give him 20. We only give him the Makot that we could split up three ways, because we need to split it 2/3 and 1/3. 1/3 is beaten on the front of the body and 2/3 on the back of the body. And therefore, we're only going to do it in thirds, and therefore we'll only give him 18, if that's the case, because it's not Roy Lishtalesh if it's more than 18, and we can't go beyond 20, the 20, because he could only be Mekavo 20. V'kamahim t'manisre, that's 18. But according to the way Rav is understanding it over here, Limechaye Esrim V'chada. Beat him 21. So then you're going to say, but he's going to die on the 21st. Fine. So let him die. But as you hit him, he was still alive. So you have him in the Niklachicha Le'necha. So V'chimayit Pahachada Le'mot. Let him die. Takicha Machita. Because that way, when you hit him, it was a Gabadachayaka Machita. You did it. The back of a living being. Omar Le, Omar Krav, Niklachicha Le'necha. Acha Shalaka Achicha Be'ina Veleka. What we need is that after the Malkus, he is Achicha. And that means we need to have Achicha Be'ina at that time. He needs to be Achicha. And that, Veleka, we don't have Achicha because at that point he's no longer living with you. He's dead. You can't call him Achicha. So Memela, it doesn't only mean that when you hit him, he has to be alive. It means that he has to be able to survive the Malkut. But in essence, the Malkut is really a form of a Chiyuv Mita, except the Torah doesn't want him to die. Next thing that we have in our Mishnah is that Ibur HaChodesh B'Shlosha. Now the question is, what exactly do we mean by Ibur? Let's just review briefly what happens when it comes to the question of a new moon. Basically, we take a look at an average month. An average month is approximately 29 and a half days from the time that the moon is once again Mitchadesh, which is not obviously not really a full completion of an orbit, because meanwhile the Earth-Moon combination has moved on along the Earth's orbit, and therefore the Sun is going to be hitting the Moon from a slightly different angle. But it's 29 and a half days approximately until the time that the Moon is completely hidden and starts to shine once again, which we call the Molad. And that's an average. So in order for us to get full day months, which the Torah teaches us from a pasuk that we're only allowed to be Mekadesh days in a month, we can't have half days or hours as part of a month, we're obviously going to have some months of 29 days and some months of 30 days in order to keep things more or less on track with the new moon, which then we're able to keep 12 months up. Now, the question over here is, what happens when it's time to be Mekadesh the month? It may be that every time there's a Rosh Chodesh, that Beis Din is supposed to say Mekudash. Today is Rosh Chodesh. It may be that there's only a mitzvah to say it's Mekudash in the event that the day that could have been the next month ends up being indeed the next month, meaning the 30th day. Could be that we only need to be Mekadesh it if the new moon begins on the 31st day from the previous month, and that's the first day of the next month. Could be that maybe there's never an inyan to be Mekadesh the Chodesh. Now, the truth is that those are various shitot that we're going to discuss later on. But one thing we do know is that there is a lot that we need to take into consideration other than simply averaging out the months. It was just a question of averaging out the month. We could really set things up pretty much in advance and know exactly when it would be possible to see the new moon, sometimes not possible. The point is, however, there's a lot of other issues that we need to take into consideration as the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah goes through, things that have to do with agricultural requirements or the question of whether we're going to end up with an Isser to bury the dead that's going to come right after Shabbos, so we have to make sure we don't have 2 days like that, one after another. Those are all things that Beis Din need to take into consideration, and they have a right to change things about and not accept they do it, or to be Mekadesh or Chodesh. And the other thing they need to take into consideration is to make certain that there is not an incremental shift which would become noticeable to the man in the street. So in other words, even though we have a right to play games with a month and make it longer than it ought to be, but we can't make the difference between the actual view of the moon and the Kiddush HaChodesh a difference of 3 days, because that becomes already too noticeable and people begin thinking that we don't know what we're doing. So we don't like that. That's another thing that needs to be taken into consideration. Now, all of that is part of the Chishuv of Beit Din. So just to get our terms straight, Chishuv would mean that calculation, which includes a lot of different issues, not just astronomical calculations. Kiddush is the actual getting up and being Mekadesh HaChodesh. The Yom HaIbur, otherwise known as Zmano, is the 30th day, and that's because the norm is, if it's 29 and a half days, the 30th day is Roy to be Rosh Chodesh, if it wouldn't be that we've had incremental changes. And then we also have Ibur as a verb, which would mean being Ma'aber by not being Mekadesh the 30th day, and making the 31st day the first day. And that way the month would have 30 days, and 31 days from the beginning of the month would be the beginning of the next month. Now, if we keep all of those terms in mind, we'll have an easy time with the Gemara coming up. So, points out the Gemara, when the Mishnah said Ibur HaChodesh B'Shloshah, it seems to be talking about a verb. To be Me'aber the Chodesh requires 3 people. Now, I would have thought that the issue of here is Chishuv. In other words, you need a Beit Din to work out whether or not we should be Me'aber the Chodesh. Should we let the month become 30 days and only the 31st day be the beginning of the next month? But that's not what it says. Chishuv lo katani. The Mishnah doesn't talk about the requirement of 3 people for doing the calculation. Dush lo katani doesn't talk about the act of being Mekadesh HaChodesh. It talks about Ibur, which seems to imply that you need 3 people to say, this month is a Chodesh Mu'ubar. Now, we never heard of such a proclamation. So what exactly would that mean? Lo lekacha umamela liaber. If you're not Mekadesh the Chodesh, and then the 31st day becomes the first the next month, so then by definition, if you're Mekadesh the day, first day, on the 31st day from the previous month, then that means that the previous month was a Chodesh Mu'ubar. What's the point of making an announcement, this month is Mu'ubar? Omer Abaye, quite true, says Abaye, Tni, Kiddush HaChodesh. It must be that the Mishnah is supposed to say, that when you go ahead to say that today is Rosh Chodesh, and this we do every month, it means that it should be done with three people. That's what the Mishnah is coming to tell us. Tanya Nami Yochi, there's also a brayta that says that Kiddush HaChodesh V'Ibur HaShana B'Shlosha Divrei Rabbi Meir. So that if you're coming out now, it is a bezdin to stand up and to say this is Rosh Chodesh, that's three people, and then the din of Ibur HaShana, which also takes many, many things into consideration in determining whether this should be a 13-month year in order to keep the lunar and solar years more or less aligned or not, that too requires a Beit Din of three. So says Rabbi Meir. So that when it talks about Ibur, what it's really saying is the act of being Mekadesh Nechosh. Says Rabbi, that's a great pshat except for one very inconvenient problem, and that is what the Mishnah stated last I looked was the word Ibur. Va'ibur katani. It doesn't say Kiddush. It says Ibur. And I mean, if you're going to make a mistake in a Mishnah or be loose with your words, you're certainly not going to make that difference in Kiddush and Ibur. I mean, that is central. So if it's talking about Ibur, it's talking about Ibur. So what would that mean? Ela amarava, I'll tell you. The way that we could make it work is if we recognize that the word Ibur is a noun, referring to the Yoma Ibur, that is the 30th day, and the Pu'ula, the verb that we're talking about, is being Mekadesh, then we can understand that what the Mishnah is telling us is that Kiddush B'Yom Ibur B'Shlosha, that if you go ahead and you make the 30th day now, you want to go on the Yom Ibur, we call the Yom Ibur the 30th day, because that is the day that if you're not Mekadesh it, the month would be Mu'ubar by including this day in the previous month. So it would become 30 days. If you do Kiddush HaChodesh on the Yom HaIbur, which by definition means that we're talking about a Chodesh Chaser that only has 29 days, so you need three people to be Mekadesh Rosh Chodesh for the next month on the 30th day of that month, which now becomes the first of the next month. So the reason that it used the word Ibur is to tell me that the only time that there would be Kiddush HaChodesh is where you're being Mekadesh to Chodesh on the Yom HaIbur. In other words, if the month that you're now leaving is a Chodesh Chaser, and that's what it's coming to teach, that Kiddush B'Yom HaIbur B'Shlosha. However, if now you were not Mekadesh the 30th day, and then the 31st day becomes the first of the next month, then there is no din of getting up and saying Mikudash. So if it's Acher HaIbur, Leka Kiddush, and that's the Kiddush of the Mishnah, there is only a Kiddush HaChodesh on the Ibur. And that would be the sheet of whom? Umani, Rabbi Elazar bar Rabbi Tzadoki, the Tanya, Rabbi Elazar bar Rabbi Tzadok Omer, Im lo nir ebizmano, this is actually a Mishnah, and it's a Mishnah Rosh Hashanah, therefore it should say Ditnan, because this is a direct quote from the Mishnah. If the Chodesh was not seen to be Mekudash at the time where it's roi to be Rosh Chodesh, meaning the 30th day, again, we're calling that day Bizmano, because generally speaking, since 29 and a half days is the length of the month, it's reasonable to call the 30th day Bizmano. Obviously, that doesn't take into consideration the context and how many months we've been pushing things off or being magged in anyway, but that's the day that we call Bizmano. So says Rav Elazar ben Tzadok, if there was no opportunity for the Beit Din to be Mekadesh the 30th day, so then Ein Mekadshino Tor, then you do not go ahead to be Mekadesh Rosh Chodesh on the 31st day. Why? Shekvar Kichuhu Bashamai? Because since in essence, the Beit Din Shel Mala has now recognized this as the default Rosh Chodesh. That's the equivalent now of a Kiddush that's coming by definition, the way things worked out. And Mamela doesn't require an act of Beit Din because it's a default. Rav Nachman Omar. Rav Nachman says, well, that's not the way I would explain the Mishnah. I would actually not follow the sheet of Rav Elazar ben Tzadok. And therefore, I would say the meaning of the Mishnah is that Kiddush Acher Ibur is B'Shlosha. If anything, it's saying exactly the opposite. That if the month was a Chodesh Me'ubar, and now we're making Rosh Chodesh on the 31st day, then that is the time that we have to go ahead and make it Rosh Chodesh with an announcement. But when Rosh Chodesh comes out on the day that was Bizmano, then you don't require a Beit Din to say, today is Mekudash as Rosh Chodesh. Don't you see that that's the very point of calling this day Bizmano? You don't have to be Mechazik, something which is the norm. Masha'inkin, if now you're going to go ahead and you're going to be Ma'aber the Chodesh, so then you need to be Mechazik, that this is different than the norm. So that it was the Yom HaIbur itself, then there's no mitzvah to be Mekadesh, Lekha Kiddush. So if anything, the Mishnah is coming to me going the opposite. This is going according to the Shita of Limo. Umani Flimo Hudatanya. Flimo Omer Bizmano Ein Mekachinoto. It's only Shalo Bizmano that we are Mekachinoto. So this then would be the alternative, and it would mean Ibur HaChodesh, that if we are being Mekadesh the Chodesh after having been Ma'aber the Chodesh, then we need Shlosha. Exact opposite approach. And now the Gemara says there's also yet another approach. Rav Ashi Omer, I say that Liolam Chishuv Katan. It really does mean the Chishuv, which you thought it ought to have said. And that's what it's talking about. And there you require three people that are going to be able to be Nosev and Otein in how it is, whether we ought to be Ma'abed Chodesh or not. So therefore, what it's coming to stress over here is that the Ibur of the Chodesh, that is to say, the Chishuv working out whether this is a Chodesh Mubar, requires Shlosha. And why is it that we use the word Ibur, which is so misleading? Because I did the Kabbalah limit the Ibur Shana. Because of the fact that we're going to discuss in a moment what the din is about Ibur Shana. We're over there. It's literally the Beit Din that sits around and works out and is then announcing that this is a Chodesh Mubar and calls what would have been Chodesh Nisan, Chodesh Adar Sheni. So they're using that word. It contrasts now Ibur Shana with Ibur Chodesh, meaning the Chishuv of the Chodesh. That's how I understand the mission. So my Ibur Chishuv di Ibur, Vaidit the Kabbalah Mista Ibur Shana Tadigami Ibur Chodesh. So it's coming to tell me now that Dafka the Ibur, meaning the Chishuv, requires three. And if anything, the mission is coming to teach me that it's only the Chishuv. Chishuv Chodesh in. That requires a Beit Din. But Kiddush Chodesh lo. Why does Kiddush HaChodesh not require a Beit Din? Because there's no such thing as Kiddush HaChodesh. Because it's going according to the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. He, the Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, Ben Bizmano, Ben Shalo Bizmano, Ein Mekachinoto. Shinamar, Vikidashtem et Shnata Chamishim Shana. We do not have a mitzvah of Beit Din getting up and being Mekadesh to Chodesh. Only working out when Rosh Chodesh is. Because the Torah tells us that when it comes to Shnat HaYovel, there is a din of Beit Din being actually Mekadesh, the Shana. That Shana teaches me that it's only in Shanim, when Beit Din is in the business of determining the year, then Hata Mekadesh. That's the only time that the Beit Din gets up and says Mekudash. This year is Mekudash, as a Shnat HaYovel. But I Hata Mekadesh Chodashim. There's no such thing as a mitzvah of getting up and being Korei the Rosh Chodesh. It's the Chishuv and the determination, the accepted Zavedim. That is the Kriya of the Chodesh. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, B'shlosha matchilin, B'chamisha nosim notnim, and gomri b'shiva. So, according to Shimon ben Gamliel, you start off the process. We need to explain that now. What exactly do you mean? Start off the process with three, and then we go into a Beit Din of five in order to work out the actual psak, and then when we're goymer the psak, we need seven. That's a very strange statement. How exactly does it work out in practical terms? Tanya. Ketzer amar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel b'shlosha matchilin u'b'chamisha nosim notnim v'gomrim b'shiva. In what sense does he mean this? Show me practically how we would sit down to go ahead and to do this. Well, we take three people and they determine whether there is any point in calling together the larger Beit Din to see whether we should be Ma'aber the year. So in other words, they take into consideration the fundamental issue. Is the springtime going to come in time? Are they going to be sufficiently well-developed produce in order for us to be able to bring the carbonus we need to bring and the markets to function properly and so on and so forth. So first, we need to determine whether we need a Beit Din. That's what it means. So you have these three people. So two out of the three say there is insufficient information over here or insufficient reason for us to even entertain the notion of Ibur HaShana. So then, batel yachid b'miyuto. The fact that one person says we ought to do something about it is meaningless against the two who say forget about it. On the other hand, if shnayim omrim leshev, echad omer shelo leshev, how about if two out of the three believe that a determination is going to have to be made based on the information at hand? So then even though there's one who says out of the three that it's not necessary, we add another two dayanim, osifim aleihem od shnayim, and then nosim venotlim b'davar, and we get into the nitty-gritty and make a determination. If shnayim omrim tzricha v'shoshim omrim einat tzricha, so now if two out of the five say we need to make this a shana me'uberet, and three out of the five say we don't, so then again, batlu shnayim b'miyutan, so then we don't have to worry about the dat of the minority. But if three out of the five say tzricha, v'shnayim omrim einat tzricha, so now we have a psak that says we need to actually be ma'aber, but we can't be ma'aber only with five. So the mosifim aleihem od shnayim she'en haminyan pachot mishiva. And then we need for the chashivut, we need seven people, and we add the two, and then we have now the proper beit din. Now, there's according to the Rambam, we're going to need to incorporate those two people, not as a formality, but we'll have to actually go over the cheshbon and take the vote again. So why do we have this particular structure, asks the Gemara? It's clear that we're trying to be machshiv, the issue of Kiddush HaKodesh. But why pick 3, 5, 7? So, Hani Shlosha, Chamisha, V'Shiva, Keneged Mi. What was it that Reb Shimon Gamliel saw as the model for 3, 5, and 7? So there's a machlokus between Rav Yitzchak Bar Nachmani and Rav Shimon Ben Pazi. Some actually put Rav Shimon Ben Pazi first and mention his chavrusa v'chadi imei being Rav Yitzchak Bar Nachmani. But in any event, the machlokus was between these two shitot. Chad omer keneged birkat kohanim. One of them, I don't know who says what, but one says it's keneged the number of words in the birkat kohanim. So we have the first pasuk of the Yivorech Hashem Yishmerecha is 3 words. The second is 5 words, and the third is 7 words. So we see that the Torah is machshiv, that structure of growing bracha, as 3, 5, and 7. V'chadomer, whereas the other one says that actually there's a different structure over here, because since the inyan of working out the elements of the year are keneged, the malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and is a reminder of the Sidrei Bereshit, so the shlosha would be, shlosha, chamisha, shiva, would have to do with tachsisei malchut, would have to do with the way in which the Malchut on earth views things as being chashev, more chashev, and most chashev. So the three that we have, shlosha, those first shlosha are keneged shomrei hasa. Those, we find that there is such a concept by Tzidkiyo. It talks about the three marines that sit there, they're shomrei hasaf, they stand on the doorway of the king. And then we have chamisha miro'ei pnei hamelech, and we have five people that are mentioned also by the Malchut, that there are five people who are the inner cabinet. And then we find by Achashverosh, Shiv'a, Sarei, Parasu, Madai, and these are called the Shiv'a, who are Ro'ei Pnei HaMelech. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos does not like the idea that we would have used the Tachsisei Malchut of Ovdei Avodah Zorah, like by Achashverosh, to be the makor of the dinim of the kovod that we're going to give to Sidrei Bereshis. And therefore, the Rabbeinu Tam explained that actually it's a reference to the Shiv'a, that we find in Yirmiyahu. And so it's unlikely. Rashi obviously holds that the union of Malchut has nothing to do with whose Malchut. It has to do with the way in which human beings end up self-organizing into something which expresses the covet of what it is to have that entity. But Tosfos holds that we would need to find it expressed in Malchut Yisrael. But in any event, it's not based on the concept of bracha. It's based on the concept of Malchut, according to the other Mandiyama. Tani Rav Yosef. Indeed, Rav Yosef brings a brighter that says exactly that. That Hani Shlosha v'Chamisha v'Shiva Keneged Shlosha Shomrei Asav and Chamisha Ro'ei Pnei HaMelech and the Shiva Ro'ei Pnei HaMelech. Omalei Abaye l'Rav Yosef. Wow, Ada Ida my time alo parashel on Mar Ochi. How come you never said that before? That's such a tremendous chiddush to tell us over such a brighter. Omar lo lo have yadana the tzarchito. I had no idea that this was something that you weren't aware of. Have you ever asked me something that I kept from you, that I wouldn't want to tell you? Obviously, I have no reason for not telling you such a thing.